My name is Justin Lindsay. Most of y'all know me. I've been teaching in Grow One this semester as of up to this point. So I get the privilege of coming in here to teach tonight, and it's teaching on one of my favorite subjects, and we're teaching on fasting. But before we get into it, I know last week, what did y'all talk about? Hey, guys. Can y'all kill the music? Thank you. The soap method. All right, did anybody take the soap method home and apply it this weekend? Anybody get anything from the soap method? Scripture, observation, application, and prayer. Did anybody take that and use it in your studies this weekend? Or and anybody, did God reveal anything? Did it help y'all any? Anybody have something they can share? Yes, no? Okay, I will, I'll get with Taylor. Week two, okay. So does anybody have anything as far as the homework goes on the soap method? Okay, well then I'll do one. All right, I've been studying a lot. One of the scriptures that I'm studying is where Jesus healed the widower's son. Okay, and this scripture has, what I love about the Bible is there's so many different layers. You can study the same scripture for years and years, and then God's reveal a nugget over here, a nugget over there. You never get through all the layers of the knowledge and the impactfulness and the power of the Bible. We'll never reach that standard, or we'll never reach that goal until we're with God in glory. So that means no matter where you're at in your walk, no matter how long you've been reading the Bible, no matter how long you've studied or you're just getting started, there's a layer in there for you. So the scripture is in Luke, and it's in Luke 7, and it is where Jesus heals the widower's son, okay? And I won't go through the whole scripture, but that's the scripture. Here's what my observation is let me set the stage for what this is, and this is the reason why soap is so powerful. The observation I get is there is this funeral procession coming down, and they encounter Jesus and the disciples, okay? A funeral procession encounters a living God, and multiple things happen. Number one, he basically lays his hand on this widower. So if she's a widower, what has already happened in her life? She's already lost one. Now she's burying her son. So you can attest from that story and just common knowledge that she is dealing with a lot. She's probably very emotional, and God says, he tells her, he says, hey, don't cry. Don't cry. And the reason why he's speaking this to her is because he knows his plan. He knows what's next, even though she doesn't. See, there's the first line when Jesus just tells her not to cry. There's already that much observation we can make. And you go on through, and it basically says Jesus walked up, he touched the coffin, he tells the boy to do something, he says, get up and speak. The boy gets up and speak, and it says, the word of God spread throughout Judea and the surrounding areas. That's what this scripture is. So the observation is that one of the things that I've observed through this, one of the layers, is that when dead things enter the presence of Jesus, they have the potential to come alive. It's powerful. When you can take that story and apply it to the dead things in our life. So let's look at the application of it. So what is the application? What's a form of death in our life? Now, what's now, y'all know me. We're going to interact. We're going to be family before we leave tonight, so we're going to interact. So you might as well talk, or I'm going to come sit at the table with you. What's a form of application? What are dead things in our life? No, dead things. Things that are dead, like addiction, like fear. Fear can bring death in your life. Addiction. Do what? Depression. Worry. Now you're talking. Come on. What about y'all, Doc? What else? What are other things in our life that are stress? Now you got those brains working. I know we all had to work today, but let's turn them spiritual brains on. Let's dig through this. Okay. So those are examples of death. Well, the application of it is at one time in my life I was an addict. I was a bad addict. Okay. And until I would allow Jesus, the presence of Jesus, to come into that dead area of my life. That dead area of my life belonged to me, and it identified me, and it was death. It was the area of my life that had no life. There's nothing that brings life to addiction. Addiction brings nothing to life but death. And so I had this dead thing. It took one thing, the touch of Jesus. So how dude, there's your application, is I finally said, God, I can't handle this coffin, basically, of addiction. And Jesus said, don't cry. And the minute Jesus touched me and touched addiction in my life, it was lifted. Now, did I have some responsibility in my life? Sure. Did I have something I had to do? That's the application. When Jesus touched this boy's coffin and he told him to do, Jesus didn't pick him up out of the coffin and make him speak like a puppet. He gave that boy a choice. We all have free will. And he told him, he said, get up and speak. That boy had a choice. He could either chose to speak or he could have laid down and embraced that coffin. I could have chose to come out of my addiction or I could have laid down and I could have embraced it. That's application. What's the P? Prayer. You know how much praying I had to do to overcome the addictions in my life? My goodness. You know how many scriptures I had to pray over areas of my life to overcome these addictions? And I'm talking about evil, dark, deep addictions. When these addictions and this thing tried to rise back up in me and I knew God had delivered from me and I knew he had brought life and I knew he had eliminated that death, through prayer I was able to battle it. See how powerful soap is? It's not just this learning mechanism, this learning tool. There's power behind the principle of soap. So when you read, when you go home and study, whatever it is, if you'll take and apply soap, it'll change, it'll transform the way you study the Bible. I study the Bible every day of my life, and I use that method, and it has transformed my way, the way God speaks to me through the Bible. All right, what about a memory verse? What's a memory verse? Come on, hit me, come on. What's a memory verse? What is it? Come on. I love it. There we go. There we go. There we go. Hey, one of the most powerful, it's the most well-known scripture in the Bible. But if you were to take the soap method and look at that, there's the power that's in that. For God so loved the world, okay? People talk about that he's a God of wrath and a God of anger. A God of wrath and a God of anger wouldn't do that. Would any of y'all in here give up one of your kids to the prison in Huntsville to go to the electric chair so all of them will be set free? No. That's what God did. That's love. So that proves that God's a loving God. All right? So the scriptures, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he did what? He gave. He had a choice. God chose to give us eternal life. He chose. So for God so loved the world, he gave his what? His only son. What is the next thing? So that. So what? So that what? So that whoever. If you think God is a God of color, nationality, if you think he's a color of social status, if you think your money matters, if you think your skin color matters, if you think your job or what house you live in, I promise you it doesn't. I promise. Because the blood of Jesus was so powerful, it was for everybody. It's for Jews and Gentiles. For everybody. Did that not just transform that scripture for you? It transforms it for me. The fact that when I read that scripture and I'm witnessing to somebody at a gas station that is just eat up with evil, but I know the love of God is for that person, how can I get in my truck and drive off when God's saying, hey, that's my son too. My blood's for everybody. That's the power of the soap method in the scripture. All right, I'll preach on that all day. We got to go. Goodness sakes. All right, so we are talking about fasting, okay? I talk a lot, so I got to have water, but I'm going to spill it. Robin, don't drink all my water. I don't know if y'all know it. Her husband, full-blown ninja. Her husband's a ninja. You are. You was in Starting Point with me. Yeah, don't let him fool you. That joker's a ninja. He told me so. Huh? You are too, see? Uh-huh. I'm watching you, Robin. All right. So we're talking about fasting. Fasting is something that who in here has not heard of fasting? Okay? If you haven't, it's okay. So everybody in here has heard of fasting. Fasting is a biblical principle. It is a biblical tool. How many, and you have to be honest, because if we can't be honest with ourselves in here, listen, we won't grow. How many in here has seen God move mountains through fasting? Amen. I have. But I'm going to tell you what, I fasted a whole lot of times the wrong way. I didn't understand fasting until I understand the power behind the principle. Okay? I did not understand the power of fasting. I didn't understand the power behind this biblical principle. Okay, God, you want me to quit eating? Whatever, dude. You want me to give up what I love, and through this, you're going to draw me close to you, separate me from the world, and okay, let me try this. All I did was fad diets for about a week or so. I didn't understand the power behind the principle. I didn't understand the principle. That's what I want to do tonight. I want to make this thing, fasting, a tangible, powerful principle that will transform your life. And if you will take in what we're talking about tonight, and you will breathe this in, and you will let God transform your mind to the place it transforms your heart, so that it'll transform your walk in your life, I promise you'll leave empowered tonight and have a tool in your toolbox for the kingdom and for your personal life that's transformative. I promise. Our church believes in it. I believe in it. Jesus believed in it. It was the very first thing that he did before he went into his ministry. Jesus, baptized by John the Baptist, and he comes up. Holy Spirit descends on him in the form of a dove. And what happens? Where does he go? 40 days in the desert. He goes straight into a fast. He's 40 days, no food, no water. The first thing Jesus did before he went into his ministry. I don't know about y'all, but if it's good enough for Jesus, you got to be good enough for me. All right. So what is a fast? We're going to run through this pretty quick. It's basically a practice of abstaining from food, either completely or partially for a specific period of time. It is an ancient practice found in most religions of the world. Traditionally, fasting has been a widely used form of asceticism and a practice observed for the purpose of purifying the person or atoning for sins and wrongdoing. It's a biblical thing that separates us from worldly things and connects us to God. And fasting back then, the main thing that they fasted was food, because that's all they had. You think about the luxuries in Jesus' time. They didn't get three meals a day. I mean, back then they didn't have microwaves. They didn't have grocery stores. You couldn't buy a loaf of bread. It had to all be made. They had to hunt and kill or grow and harvest and clean and cook every one of their meals. Well, you imagine doing that. You probably don't eat three times a day. You probably eat in the form of, you probably eat when it's not convenient, but just opportunistic eating, should I say. When the opportunity is there, I better grab a piece of bread or a piece of fish or something. So imagine, they already don't eat much, okay? And there's not a lot in the Bible about obesity, okay? I would have probably been the first overweight guy in the Bible and be like, Justin, geez, you're eating all the fish. Come on, guy. So they abstain from food. Look at what's changed now. We have food on every corner available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But there's so much more now that occupies our life. Social media, things, careers. You see what I'm saying? And so fasting, God, he was so brilliant that they did these different fasts in the Bible way back when that it applies to us modern day today. If you don't think God's hands in fasting, I'm fixing to show you that it is. See, the discipline of fasting is available to strengthen you spiritually and to help you overcome barriers that keep you from living a victorious Christian life. Anybody in here that wants to live a defeated Christian life? A defeated Christian life? No. So everybody wants to live a victorious Christian life, right? Well, then fasting's for you. All right. All right. So here it is. When Jesus taught on prayer and fasting, he said this, and when you pray, and when you fast. That's in Matthew 6:5 in the 16th chapter. It says, notice that he did not use the word if. This is a when. This is a command. This is God saying, when you do this, when you do this. He said to say, hey, if you want to fast, fast. No, God said, hey, this needs to be part of your, I won't say daily, but at least your weekly. This needs to be part of your normal schedule. When you do it, when you fast, and when you pray. And so Jesus is very clear about the fact that it's not an if, it's when. So here's the first thing. Prayer is about connecting to God. We all know that. And then fasting is about disconnecting from the world. When you combine these two powerful things together, when you take fasting and you separate yourself from the world and you insert prayer in form of that and during that fast, it is one of the most powerful, transformative tools that we can carry in our spiritual toolbox. It is powerful. It transforms not only your life, but it transforms life around you. There's fasting where you fast for other people. Okay, I fast for other people all the time. All right, when someone's asking me to help them through something, if I don't fast through it, it kind of falls towards Justin trying to guide them. And when I'm guiding you, we're in trouble. I've seen me steer a boat before. It ain't good. Spiritual boat. I'm great with a regular boat. Great with a regular boat. Okay, so this we're finna dig into. We're finna look at four kinds of fast real quick, and then we're going to do some group work. What are we looking like on time? All right. We are perfect. Okay, we're over. That's great. Four kinds of fast. Number one, the complete fast. The complete fast. This is going without food for a definite period. All right. On a complete fast, there's two different ways you can do it. You can do it for a set time. I do a lot of complete fast to where it is, I'm going to go 3 days with no liquids and when I'm really needing to hear from God. I set parameters. Then there's other times when God doesn't lead me to those specific days where God says, hey, I need you to operate in this deficit. You'll know when it's time. I just come out of one. I started it on a Saturday morning. I knew God that Friday had been praying, and God specifically downloaded into me what he wanted me to do. And I begin this process. I begin this fast. And as I begin to go through it, I asked him, I said, God, how long? And he said, you'll know. And he gave me three promises then. And I'm going to tell you what he revealed to me in those completely turned me a flip, because it was nothing what I was asking for. Because what I was asking for was selfish for me. What God wanted was glorifying him. And when he gave it to me, I was like, all right, God, you could have thrown me a little bit of a bone in that, but it glorified God. But it was when I come through and he answered it, I knew God said, okay, it's you can up and move on now. You have disconnected yourself from the thing that was eliminating this time with me, this extra added time that I needed from you. You have inserted the power of prayer in this time. And he says, my word will not return void. And he showed up and he did something so powerful in my life. I'll have to give that testimony one day. So then there is the absolute fast. And the absolute fast is going without food or water, and it should be short. There's the Moses fast, which is 40-day fast. All right? Listen, if you are getting ready to fast and you feel like someone's calling you to do a 40-day absolute fast with no food or no water, you better test that spirit. Because if that's not a supernatural calling of God, it'll kill you. Our bodies aren't designed to do that. All right, our bodies are not, it's not designed to destroy our bodies. So there was very few 40-day fasts in the Bible that were absolute, but Jesus orchestrated and God orchestrated and called each one of them to it. So be very careful. If you wake up and you just on top of the world and you're like, God, I'm going to do a 40-day fast and I ain't going to do nothing, just test that spirit real good, okay? Test that spirit real good. Number two, the selective fast. The selective fast includes omitting certain foods for a certain period of time. There's the Daniel fast. John the Baptist did it. He ate locust and honey. And so these are selective fasts. Here's what's brilliant about the selective fast. Is this is designed for if you have health issues. This is you can customize this fast. So just say that you're, I don't know, what your health issue says, hey, you have to eat this, 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 and this. Well, then it may not be food. It may be something else. It may be fasting time. It may be fasting, whatever it may be. But the selective fast allows you to customize a fast, and it's really, really, really good for first time, in my opinion. If you've never fasted before, okay, and you said, you know what, God, listen, it's not how hard the fast is. It's the condition of your heart during the fast. It's not about how hard it is. I promise you, God's not going to reveal more to someone in a 21-day Daniel fast when his heart's in the wrong place and he's not pursuing God the right way as if someone goes on a 2-day fast and has a condition and his heart's conditioned for Christ. This is a conditioning for a heart. This isn't how tough we are. God's not trying to see how tough we are. He's wanting to see how faithful we'll be. That's what fasting is. Number three, it's a partial fast. And the partial fast involves avoiding all or certain foods periodically. So this is like one meal a day. So this is the one that I do weekly. I always fast a meal during the week. This is the one that I think should be part of your weekly routine. And in that time, I think it's powerful when you say, all right, on Sunday, or on Tuesdays, all right, Tuesday's my day off, I'm not going to eat breakfast, and I'm going to take that time, and I'm going to get alone, and I'm going to spend whatever fits your schedule. What that does, all right, is it's I want to call it like a reminder fast. It kind of brings you back into connection. And so you're Sunday morning, and you've gone to church, and God has done this work in you, and you've praised God, and then Monday morning hits you in the mouth. How many people have Monday mornings hit them in the mouth? We all do. I mean, Sunday evenings hit us in the mouth or whatever, but whatever the timing for it is, but when you go into that and all of a sudden you've got the world and schedules and bills and jobs and kids and relationships and marriages and all of these things that are piling, and they're very important and they have their place, but God said, I got to remain number one. So when we take a partial fast and we implement it in our regular schedule, what it does is it brings us back and it reminds us, hey, hang on a second. I need this. I need this time with God. That this is powerful. I need to do less of me and more of Him. And in that routine, what that routine does is it puts you in routine with God. And it's powerful. If you know Tuesday, oh man, it's Tuesday. I'm not going to do breakfast. I'm going to spend time. I promise. Insert a partial fast into your life and see if God does not change your walk. If He don't begin to reveal stuff to you. And it's not about Him revealing stuff to you, even though He does. It's about drawing closer to Him. You will have a closer walk with Christ if you'll insert selective fasts. And then the last one is a soul fast. If you don't think God wasn't pretty brilliant back in this day, He knew He was going to have Facebook and Insta, Chatgram, whatever it's called. Okay. I am not a social media guy. Okay. And when college football season's over with, my TV is useless. But I love me some college football, Doc. Yeah, I may need to repent for as much of it I watch, but that's okay. But a soul fast is themed around a specific situation. This is social media, maybe a TV show, maybe time with your TV. And so here's one of the things that I do. Because I'm not connected to social media. I don't Facebook. I don't understand Instagram or Snapchat or none of those things. I don't do none of that stuff because I don't want everybody to know what I do, which I'm kind of boring, but regardless. And so this is what I do. Is my favorite time in the morning is I work in Nacogdoches. So when I drive to Nacogdoches, I love listening to podcasts. And I've got the preachers that I listen to, and that's my favorite time of day. Is driving down the road at 5 o'clock in the morning listening to T.D. Jakes or Stephen Furtick or Jensen Franklin, you know, or Steve McManus or whoever, Tony Evans, whatever pastor I'm listening to. And that's great, but it does not replace my time with God. It can't trump it. Great speakers, but they're still man just like I am. And there's nothing more, it's in that silent time when I turn that radio off, and this is what I do on a soul fast. I turn the radio off, I turn my phone off, and I got 30 minutes. And this is a fast, once a week, and I don't say a word. And I listen. And God speaks more to me in those quiet, silent times than almost any other time in my life. Because I'm taking this distraction out. I'm taking the noise out. And when we begin to remove the noise, we get to where we can hear a lot more clear. I know my kids are extremely loud because they're mine. They're just like me. And when they're in the house, imagine me trying to have a relationship, or I mean a conversation with my wife, and I've got three Lindsays barking like bulldogs. Daddy, daddy, that's like daddy, 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 what's for dinner? Daddy, 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 sign this, daddy, daddy, daddy. That's what, when we going fishing, daddy, that's, I love it. But there's times that I have to pull them aside and say, hey, I need this time with your mother. We're talking. I want to hear what your mama's saying. What?
I'm sorry, Sam. Just
talk. Well, praise God. Hey, it's a blessing. It really is. I wouldn't trade it for nothing. And so I had to disconnect my kids in order so I can connect to my wife, because what my wife says to me is important. I mean, it really is important to me that what my wife said, unless football's on, Doc, and then if I don't turn that TV off, I'm gone. But it does the same thing. It's the same principle that we take with our spouse and when we apply it to God. And what happens is when we get quiet and all the noise is gone, and we just, and you don't even have to say nothing. That's how God knows us so much. Watch God speak to you in that silence and in those quiet times of your life. Because what you're doing is you're saying, God, I want the noise away, and I just want you. And when his presence enters to my truck, there is nothing greater in this world that I can begin to explain than sitting and basting in the presence of God. It's powerful. It changes my day. It changes the way I talk to my wife. It changes the way I deal with my kids. It changes the way I deal with the guys that work for me. It changes everything. It changes my ministry. It changes the way I study. It's a very, very powerful aspect. And so I'm a firm believer in SoFast. So whatever that is, if you're a Facebooker, if you're an Instagrammer, if it's TV, if it's a certain TV show, find time during that week to turn that off and sit on your front porch swing. We talk about the glory of God. Everybody's like, what's the glory of God? Just look. One of God's glories is nature. And you sit out there on your front porch, or even if you live in an apartment, it doesn't matter. You want to see God, just walk outside. And the fact that we're breathing is the glory of God, because there's a life substance in the air that we can't see, but we have to have it every day. Look at the sun and the moon and the stars and the trees and the grass, and find any scientist that can explain how you create that seed, and a seed this big can turn into a mighty oak tree. It's the glory of God. And when you sit there and you begin to look and gaze upon the glory of God, and then you go back and you look at Scripture, and he says he created us and he put us in charge of this. Man, does that not show you God's love? Woo! To know that there's these mighty mountains and oaks and galaxies and this and this. And God loved us so much, he said, you're right underneath me because you're in my image. And he said, you're going to rule it all. That's his glory. We can do that any time of day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Is that not powerful? That's fasting. Are you beginning to understand a little bit of the power behind the principle? Does that make sense? There's power behind this principle of fasting. Okay. So we're fixing to jump into some group work real quick. Oh, yes, ma'am. Thank you. I'm glad you're asking. So if you're getting ready to do a fast, just say you're getting ready to do a fast. That's a great question. All right. And before you go into a fast, if you just say, you know what, I'm going to fast this, 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 and this, what you're doing is you're just throwing something out there. Because most of the time when we want to go into a fast, we're going to fast something that really, like, for example, I hate cauliflower. I'm pretty sure it's grown in the Valley of Hell. It's terrible. It's terrible. It cannot be a vegetable. It can't be. I'm sorry. It gets me. And so if I'm, and I don't drink or nothing like that, and so I said, you know, I'm going to go into a fast. I'm going to go 40 days with no cauliflower or no beer. See what I'm saying? That's not a fast. But when I go into a fast, before I go into a fast, I spend time in prayer saying, God. And so the last fast I went into, I stopped and I said, what is it? Because I'm on a very strict diet because of this weight loss plan I've been on for 2 years. And I'm very particular about what I eat. It doesn't show completely, but if you'd have known me a year and a half ago, you'd understand, I promise. And when I was in there, it just illuminated. It wasn't this audible voice, but it was God saying, berries and seeds. It was in my heart. And I don't eat strawberries and raspberries and stuff and seeds. I don't. I don't do that. But as I began to pray about it, that's what was repeated over and over and over. And as I began to pray about it, I had a peace knowing that that's what God wanted me to do, was nothing but berries, waters, and seeds until he told me to stop. So you're going into a 40-day, just say you're going to get prepared and you feel like, you know what, I'm going into a 40-day fast. Stop and spend some serious time in prayer about it. And if God's calling you to it, it'll be this internal desire and this internal drive that if you don't do a 40-day fast, that you're disappointed. It's I don't want to say that you're disappointed in God. Yes, it's this, that you can't let it go. But if it's just an idea that's come to you and you like the idea of it because it may be strong, because the thing about fasting is you're not supposed to show people that you're fasting. They're not supposed to realize that you're in that deficit. Well, when you're in 40 days and 40 without food and water, you're going to be in a major deficit. And so if it's God, you will have the peace in your heart without a shadow of a doubt that this is God calling me to this for a major purpose. When you receive salvation, you have the Holy Spirit come and reside inside your heart automatically. So you have the spirit of discernment. There's a difference between spirit of discernment and gift of discernment. The gift of discernment is a little, I don't want to say it's different, but when you have the gift of discernment, that's something God give you just to. All right? God give me the gift of teaching, the gift of gab. It's what he gave me. All right? And I know it, and a lot of people know it. But you could actually go teach in a setting. Does that make sense? And from biblical knowledge, that may not be your gift, but it's because the Holy Spirit is inside of you, you have the ability to teach something about Jesus. Okay? Does that make sense? So we have the ability to discern God's voice and his presence through what his word says, and God is not a God of chaos at all. He's a God of absolute peace. And so when you're praying and you feel this inner peace, it says, you know what? I know for a fact that this is what God, without a shadow of a doubt, I've spent a couple days in prayer, and I have prayed about this, and I've prayed about this, and I know this is what God's calling me to do. That is the discerning spirit inside of you, the Holy Spirit saying, this is what I'm calling you to do. Does that make sense? But if there's chaos, and there's anguish, and it's the enemy, because there's only two voices. And if there's a confusion, you see what I'm saying? So that's the word. And if you want to know, I've got some things to help you with that. If you want to know more, holler at me at the class and I'll help you with that. Okay? So we're going to go into group work because I go over all the time. It's who I am. I love it. So we're finishing going to this group work. And what we're going to do is this is a group work about our fasting with our experience with fasting. So at table host, I'm going to turn it over to y'all, and y'all take over, and we're going to take about 6 or 7 minutes to do this. And it's basically just like, number one, what experience do you have with fasting? All right? And so individually write these down, and then when we come back together as a group, we'll share just a little bit, okay? About two more minutes. All right, guys, let's look at some of these. I want to hear from y'all just a little bit on this. I love hearing y'all buzz about it. Just listening to some of the stories or whatever. This is pretty cool. So just raise your hand on number one. So who had a cool experience with fasting? Well, number one, it says, what experience do you have with fasting? Has anybody had a really unique experience with fasting? JC? All right. There you go. I like it. Hey, that's how I quit when I was on Facebook. I fasted it, and it was about 3 years ago, and I never put it back. Greatest thing I ever did. So then they come out on Netflix, and, you know, whatever.
That's kind of how I did I
really had to drink it, and I really had to. Oh, wow. That's great. That's awesome. All right, well, number two, so anybody heard any unique stories about the power of fasting and its effectiveness? Look at you go. I remember you come up at a counter for a full-time ministry. Look at you, look at God using you. Come on now, anybody else? Come on. Y'all know what the power of the 40 is in the Bible, right? It resembles completion. Okay, number three resembles completion. You'll see seven in there a lot because it's a full week. It's a symbolic of completion. Okay, it's funny you said that when I just went through the one that I went through. I didn't know how long. On the third night, the last hour, God revealed to me something that has changed my life forever and will change my ministry and my walk forever on the third night. And it's no joke. I was laying there and I had nothing but berries and seeds, and I eat a lot of protein. So I was laying there and I said, you know what? I said, it's God answered that. And I said, He said, complete this. And I woke up the next morning and I'm going to drive to work before I'm going to get something to eat. He gave me the last piece. 3 days. That's completion. God completed what he was doing in 3 days. Pretty cool. All right. Number three, and then we'll get moving. So what fears and misconceptions do you have or have heard about fasting? Oh, go ahead, MJ. But you just said, now you what? Now you know?
Yeah,
That's the power of knowledge. That's the power of why we talk about this. Because if we didn't know that there's these different types, Bobby?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, you're good.
You know, one of the things we all talked about here at our table was not really having any experience with fasting. When I started going to church, I was 13 years old. My dad was an alcoholic, got saved. My parents started taking us to church then. I was raised in a little Baptist church, but fasting was mentioned, but it wasn't taught. And so, you know, I grew up on, and I'm not knocking anything or anybody, but I grew up on hellfire brimstone preaching.
Sure.
And that's about all, you know, I was taught was you either repent or perish, or you turn or burn.
Yeah.
That's all I knew.
He's right.
And I just want to tell everybody, I thank God for these classes that, you know, I quit making up excuses not to take these classes. I let my job be an excuse for my schedule. So I didn't interact with any of this stuff. And I thank God for these classes because it's really opened my eyes and my understanding. These teachings are something that I've never been taught or experienced. And one of the misconceptions and fears of this was fasting for the wrong reasons and not understanding why I fast. I didn't even know this was a command, much less how to do it.
Sure.
I'm thankful for this and what I'm seeing.
Dude, I'm finna show y'all. That's awesome, Bobby. I'm going to show you what's powerful about that. This is why I love God, is because I fast all the time. And the reason I fast all the time is to understand the power of it. Bobby's just, he's learning about it. And you know that God meets Bobby exactly where he is in his fasting stance, just like he does me, just like he did Jesus. Just like he's going to meet Bobby or whoever else when they say, you know what? This is where I'm at, God. This is what I need. And to vocalize that, it says, I want more. And buddy, when you do that, I promise you, God will give it to you. I appreciate that, Bobby. That speaks volumes right there. I love that. That right there is transparency, and transparency turns to transformation. It does. I appreciate that. That's awesome, man. I appreciate that. That's a testimony. And you watch, mark my word, God's going to use that right there. He's going to use your past. He's going to transform you, and you're going to have a platform by that, I promise. I know. All right. That's awesome, man. I wish we could stay right there. But let's talk about what it does real quick in our life. I don't have a whiteboard. Okay. God showed me something. This is so powerful. This, Bobby, I want you to hear this, but I want everybody to hear this. This is what transformed me on fasting. This is what made me understand the power behind the principle. So number one, I'm going to give you number one and number two. I want y'all to fill them in, and then we'll come back and combine them together. So number one, what does fasting do in our lives? Fasting helps us overcome temptation. Denial produces discipline. And then number two, fasting brings breakthrough. And then go ahead and put number three up. Fasting weakens the flesh and strengthens your spirit. Fasting brings breakthrough. I promise we're fixing to visit this. And I want to show you why I'm doing all three of them. And then number three is fasting weakens the flesh and strengthens your spirit. This is what God showed me, and this is why I went through that fast the other day, was for this class. Now, I've been holding on to this for like 2 weeks. When God called me, so just to set the pretense of what I do is, it's when I was telling you all ago that, and I talk about what I eat because it adds a significance to this story, is I eat mainly a lot of protein and green vegetables. That's the only thing I consume. Okay, because of my diet plan. And I intermittent fasting every day, so I only eat in a 4-hour window. Okay, so the other 20 hours a day, I don't eat. And I do this as a lifestyle because of how bad my health was. And I left here the other day on the third day. And I'm gonna tell you what, a boy like me, as active as I am, I work out every day, my job requires a lot of me, and I'm nonstop, 15, 16 hours a day. And you try to get me to survive off of water, berries, and seeds, it starts getting to you mentally. Now, I'm serious. And I left, I live in Hudson, and I exited on 94. I exited right there off the loop, and I'm driving down, and I'm hurting, and I can feel the enemy tugging, saying, you can get some relief over there. I mean, because when you exit, you got Whataburger, McDonald's, you got Jack in the Box, and you do, and then Sonic. And that's what the enemy says. And as I'm driving, God just as clear as down, he said, just as clear as he could be, he says, this is the power behind the principle, son. He says, when we begin to look to the left and to the right because of the pain we're currently in, we're looking for a temporary fix. So I'm looking over here, and could I pull in a Whataburger and got something in temporary relief? Me, you bet. But the pain would not have left me. It wouldn't have. It would not have left. But God says, if you're willing to embrace the pain or the deficit and allow me to be glorified in that and keep looking down the road at the promise, he says, I will not fail you. I will not fail you. And I begin to think about that. And as I said, it was like it was the longest red light in the world, thank God. And I sat and I looked and I began to say, when we begin to fast, whatever we're fasting, there's going to be temptation to the left and to the right. God said, quit looking to the left and to the right in your life and look straight ahead. Get your eyes on me. Because there is, in this promise, this journey I have on, this journey I have you on, there is power in your pain. There's power in your pain. Okay? Number two says, denial produces discipline. If you have an addict that you know, you want to know how to break an addiction? Denial. You know how I broke my addiction of food? I denied myself that very thing that was destroying me. And finally, it's beginning to produce discipline in my life. All right? My finances, I had to deny myself from not being a good steward with my money, and it has produced discipline, and now God has begun to change my finances because I'm disciplined and I'm pleasing to Him with my finances. Was it painful? It was. I had to give up a bunch of stuff. A bunch of stuff. Thank you. That house was pretty nice. Praise God. But in that denial, and what I begin to see was how much power was in the presence of God versus these things to the left and to the right. This house occupied my time. My lake house occupied my time. This event over here, this event over here, this social group, these occupy my time, and they all were okay. They were good things. They weren't great things. God wants great things for us. And when I got my eyes focused off the good things to the left and right and began to focus on the great thing that God had for me, I'm going to tell you what, He began to change my, and He does it every day. But I had to get my focus off the left and to the right and begin to focus on Him. And I had to start denying myself of the things that I thought I needed. When God's Word says, He says, I supply all your needs according to my riches and glory, not yours, Justin. And when I begin to embrace that and I begin to produce discipline in my life, the discipline of my health, the discipline of my finances, the discipline of the way I treated my wife and my kids begin to flow over, and I begin to become disciplined in the way I study, in the way I pray, in the way I worship, in the way I serve, in the way I lead. And these denial and these other areas of fasting begin to produce discipline that has changed the whole structure of my life. And it's because I finally got to understand that in this pain, God is producing a promise in me, and buddy, is He strong. And so I did. I drove through that light, because I promise you I considered it, and I went to the house, and when I got to the house and laid down tonight is when He answered the rest of my what He had promised me. That's powerful. That's powerful. Number two said fasting brings breakthrough. That brought breakthrough in my life. It brought breakthrough in my life. I want to look at this scripture in Hebrews 12 and 11. If you don't think God doesn't have this perfectly orchestrated plan, look at what this says. It says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but what? Painful. Well, what do we? I just talked about the pain. It says, if y'all don't love the Bible and don't love the Word of God, this right here, man, these three lines are life-changing. If this don't get you excited about fasting what God has for your life, you need to come see me after class. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. But later on, however, come on, you keep looking down that road. Later on, however, It produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Let's go back to the beginning. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. There's your pain. Listen, when we disconnect ourselves from the things that we love and that we adore, it's going to be painful because it goes against our flesh and our nature. It does. It goes against, when I begin to have to discipline my body, it went against everything my family believed in, because we would have food, we would eat to get ready to eat. That's how my family operates. We all cook, we love food, and that's just what my life revolved around. And so there was no discipline at all. But when I had to begin to discipline myself, you talk about unpleasant. Golly, it was harder for me to get over than drugs. It was. It was very painful. But later on, all right, look here. And the reason I'm using my stories is because I got to use my stories. It says, later on, however, it produced a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained in it. That's power. Harvest of righteousness. Righteousness means right standing with God. A harvest of it. Have you ever seen a harvest of wheat? It's not a little bit. It's a harvest. It's bundles. It's big. So a harvest of rightness with God and peace. Who in here wants to live in complete chaos? Didn't think so. And peace for those who have been trained in it. What does it mean when you say you've been trained in it? Okay? That means that you've had to do it over and over. Jeff, when you started selling houses, the reason you're where you're at is because you've done it over and over. And am I right, brother? Your son that was in the Little League World Series, how did he get so good? Training. Same thing spiritually, guys. Training. You have to train your body. You have to train your mind. You have to train your soul. You have to train yourself. And fasting is one of the greatest tools that you can. But it produces righteousness. It produces a righteousness with God. That's all you need right there. Come on. I love that. Number four. Ooh, I got to go. Number four. Fasting assists in bringing forth the will of God in specific situations. All right? There's nothing in this world that we need more than the will of God. No matter how good our will sounds, I can assure you the will of God, the will that God has for your life, when the Bible talks about the model prayer, it says, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That's basically saying, God, the will you see for me in heaven, inserted on earth. That's what that means. If God has a will for us in heaven, it's been there since the beginning of creation. And I'm thinking that the Creator probably has the creation figured out way more than the creation has the Creator. The clay doesn't form the clay doesn't form the potter. The potter forms the clay. Okay? So if it's assisting in God's will for our life, it's perfect. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And number five, fasting brings clarity and understanding. Fasting brings clarity and understanding. And then number six, all right, fasting reduces and removes what we are not so we can become who we are destined to be. And at the end of that, I want you to write in Jesus. Fasting reduces and removes what we are not so we can become who we are destined to be. Some of y'all in here don't know what you're not. What do I mean by that? You are not defeated. You are not meant to operate in fear. You are not meant to be overcame, but you're meant to be overcomers. And fasting reduces and removes what we're not. A lot of the times we have to remove in our mind and our heart what we're not so that we can become who God's destined us to be. And that's what fasting does that. All right? If you have lived a life of people discouraging you and you live in discouragement and you live underneath that oppression of anxiety or depression, hey, we're not designed to be depressed. We're not designed. That's not who we are. And through a process, I'm not telling you just all of a sudden you fast and all of this stuff is fixed. There's a process to it. Because even Paul, the most righteous one of all, he wasn't exempt from hardships. Jesus kind of figured out how to live life and he went through the most hardships of all. Jesus wasn't exempt from hardships. We will not be exempt from hardships, but it removes who we are not. And when we learn who we're not supposed to be, we're not supposed to be overcome, but we're supposed to be an overcomer. When we're supposed to operate in strength and not powerless, when we begin to understand who we are, when these things come up in our life, we have the tools to be who we're destined to be. And who are we destined to be? We're destined to be powerful, called, walking army of God. That's who we're destined to be. That's who I'm destined to be. I don't know about y'all, but I want to live in power. I don't want to live in, I want my weakness to be exalted in Jesus, but I don't want to live a life where life has its hand on me and can control me because I'm powerless to the world. Because God didn't design me like that. Because what he did on the cross was complete. When Jesus died on the cross, it was for complete freedom. Jesus don't do nothing partial. Nothing. It was in completion. So when we know that we're destined to be complete in Jesus, that ought to change the way we perceive this amazing spiritual tool that we have in our spiritual toolbox. That make sense? All right. Okay. Last group work. We're going to do this at the table, okay, with your groups. But number one, basically look at the 6 points we just talked about. What stood out to you the most? And what area might God be stirring in you about the fast? I want y'all to do that real quick. And then, listen, as a group, all right, Grow 2, we want to enter into a fast as a group. Not the same thing, but we'll talk about that when the group work's over, okay? So let's do number one real quick. Let's take about 3 or 4 minutes to do number one. About two more minutes. All right, guys. Hey, let's look at this real quick together as a group, as a whole. Let's look at this real quick. So, I don't expect that this all of a sudden this big revelation from God, but this through this teaching, just through this last hour, has God spoke to anybody in the sense of maybe going into a fast, or maybe is there something specific? What? Huh? Well, you're with me? Yeah, of course.
Well, okay. So I'm getting married in July, and y'all, we're going to have that question. God told me to fast for 7 days. And I don't know if that's just me thinking, but that's why I'm talking about discernment and all that.
It's because you're there's nothing about you that wants to give up soda. You probably drink a lot of soda, don't you? So it's not. And what the enemy wants you to do is say, oh, no, that's not big enough. God said, it's conditional heart. Will you be obedient? Obedience, it's in 2 Samuel, obedience is greater than sacrifice. God just wants you to obey. And if he's calling you to do soda, go do soda. Thank you, Lord. If you got any Diet Pepsis or anything at the house, just bring them to me next week. I'll drink them. Who else? Didn't you have one? Yeah. That's powerful. Anybody else before we wrap up? So what I want y'all to do, this is our homework, okay? You know, we got homework in here. Is write Romans 1 and 6 on a, you know, we need to memorize that for next week. And then number two is we want to join in, the first portion of the homework is we want to join in this whole class with Romans 1 and 6, yes. 1 and 16, I'm sorry. Romans 1 and 16, my bad. And then we want to join in this as a team, as a group. Hey, listen, there is power in numbers. I believe in numbers, okay? And I just know how, I mean, I don't know how God works all the time, but I do know how God moves. I've seen God moves. And if you'll agree to come into agreement with this as a group and fast, as a group, and genuinely take it serious, and listen, don't try to, I'm not telling you to go and do this huge fast where, if you've never fasted before, God wants us to set ourselves up for success. God will not set you up for failure when it comes to his spiritual tools. And so fast something, if you've never done it before, that you can fast. And what I mean by that is stretch yourself and challenge yourself. But if you've never fasted before, don't jump into a 21-day Daniel fast because you're setting yourself up for failure. Don't go into a six-day liquid fast or a three-day liquid fast. You're setting yourself up for failure. Remember, it's not how big the fast is. It's the condition and obedience in the heart. And so if maybe it's a meal, maybe it's a TV show night, whatever it is, I promise if you will take the time this evening, tonight, when you get home and get alone somewhere and just spend some time in prayer, I guarantee you God will illuminate something in your heart because you're going to be like, man, really? But there's power in it, okay? And I challenge y'all to do that. Hey, you've come out of Grow 1, you're in Grow 2. This is application. We're putting these principles into place. We're putting them into action. If you want breakthrough and you want to see God change and move in your life, move in your kids' life, move in your family's life, move in your finances, move in this and this, and you're operating in obedience and you want God to reveal things to you, challenge Him on it. Fast. And then number three, use your soap method. We did the soap method right at first. Do you see how it just transformed John 3:16? And listen, I'm no Bible scholar by no means. I'm from Alto, Texas. Okay, if you know anything about East Texas, I'm from Alto. I was raised up in a little Baptist church. And I by no means do I have some of this huge biblical background, because I don't. Okay? But the only reason that I can study the Bible and that I comprehend the Bible is because I found a method to break it down and understand it. Do not read, if you read the Bible like a book, you'll fail. But if you will read it like you're studying something you love, you'll succeed. Okay? I love fishing. I love it. And I love college football, and I study them. I study the players, the teams. I watch YouTube videos on boys catfishing because I love catching cat. I love it. It's one of my favorite things in the world to do. I study it. If you love Jesus and you love transformation and you love to be empowered by the Holy Spirit and through what God's calling you to do, why wouldn't you study His Word? It's instruction manual for life. Don't read it like a book. Study it like something you're passionate about. I'm going to close this in prayer. I want to specifically pray for Gina. She's a table host. Her cousin died in a car wreck on Highway 69, and JC just told me about that. So, this is what I love about family. When she hurts, we hurt. When she rejoices, we rejoice. Okay, so let's close in prayer. Father, just thank You for the opportunity, God, to come in here tonight and to hear Your Word. I thank You, God, for pouring Your Word through me. God, I just pray that they take these biblical principles, this tool, God, and they truly apply it and see, not just begin to grasp the power behind the purpose, God, but begin to feel and see and understand and experience the power behind the purpose. And God, we want to lift up Gene and her family to You, Father. It's a tough time, and I just pray peace and comfort and strength. We lift up the Stanley family to You, God, and we just pray peace and comfort and strength over them. God, we don't know why things happen, but God, You do, and You're perfectly orchestrate everything You do, and we pray Your will in their life. And God, we just pray, Father, that Your Spirit fall on those families. We continue to raise up the Matchett family and that little 3-year-old boy, God, and we just thank You for the mighty work You're doing. I pray over this class. God, I pray over them spiritually. I pray over them emotionally. I pray over them vocationally, financially. And God, I just pray that You protect their hearts. I pray Your hedge of protection about each and every one of them as they go home and they carry throughout this week, God. And Father, we just thank You for the opportunity to draw closer to You in all we do. In Jesus' name, amen.